Hi, this is Rick Harmon, and today I'd like to talk about my experiences that I've had over the last 2 weeks at getting a wireless network set up here in my house. It's been interesting to say the least, but finally I have a wireless network running here that's running well. And I'd just like to talk about some of the things that I had to go through to get the router going and the wireless at the PC end on my notebook and my other computers going. For me, unfortunately, it wasn't just plug it in, turn it on, and up we went. You can do that, but you're not going to be secure, and you're not going to have things done correctly if you do that. You can take a excuse me. You can take a router out of the box, turn it on, and get some wireless connections for your other PCs and notebooks, and just hook them in, install the drivers, and off you go. To some extent, you can do that, but you're not going to have a secure, safe network that you need to have. So, I'm going to sit here and explain the things I did to get mine set up and go over some things that hopefully will help you out there when it's time to set up your wireless network to have a safe and secure one. And if you've already set up a wireless network in your home and you haven't done anything to make it secure, then hopefully this podcast will tell you a few things that will allow you to make your network that you're running now safer and more secure as well. Okay, first, I'm just going to basically tell you about my experience at getting my wireless up and going. Then after that, I'll go through a little bit of the router settings to show you what you need to set up. And then I'll go over here to the other PC and I'll get it powered up, and I'll show you some of the settings you can do and to get it up and running and connected to the wireless network. Everything's already been configured, so I'm not going to go too much over configuration, but I will show you a few things. Okay. I ended up getting a Linksys WRT 54GL wireless router. I'd asked around on several lists to see what the best wireless router everybody thought was, and of course I got a wide range of answers, which I kind of expected. My original router that I was using, that I've been using forever and ever, it seems like, since around 2000, is a Linksys wired router. It's a four port router. Very good, very stable. I've almost never had any problem out of it whatsoever. Now, a lot of people don't like Linksys, but I myself haven't had too much trouble out of them. And even with my new router, Although I'd say it's a little different than the old router, I'd still tend to believe that it's going to be stable. It's been up and running now for, oh, about a week and a half. And I only had one major issue, and that was kind of my doing. But so I got the router, and I hooked it up on a Thursday. And initially, I just hooked my three wired connections to it, and all went well. I didn't have any problems there. I didn't need to change any of my settings on the router to do this. So that all went well. No problems. Like I said, everybody connected up and went off and running as normal. Where my problems began was on Saturday afternoon. I wanted to get my wireless on my notebook set up and connected wirelessly to the router. So I took the CD that came with the router out and put it in and thought, okay, this is the easy setup wizard for the router. It's supposed to set everything up for you automatically. So I thought I'd give it a try. And first thing I found out is it's totally inaccessible. Excuse me. The screen for the installer is obviously graphical and obviously just has hot spots on it for a mouse to hover over and be highlighted. Nothing's labeled, no standard conventions are adhered to. There's no tabs, there's no hotkeys. You have to use the JAWS cursor, and even with the JAWS cursor, excuse me, my throat is dry today. Even with the JAWS cursor, it was difficult at best to move forward through the install. I did get it started, got through the first screen, then got to the second screen and found the button for it. Got it clicked, got into the third screen, found the button for it, and no matter what I did, I could not select that button with JAWS. It was not possible. So I couldn't move forward there at all. So a little bit later, somebody come over and I had them go through it with me since they were sighted, and we started to go deeper into the setup. We got to the point to where the router, the program was ready to access the router to modify its configuration. And at that point, my connection to the router came up and said it had limited or no connectivity to the internet. So we tried to go further with the program. We went through and ran through the questions it asked. They're basically the same things that you would see on the web interface setup of the router, except they ask them to you in an order that makes it easier to get the router set up. And again, none of this was really accessible either. The program is very, very poorly done. I'd like to say to Linksys and probably most of the other router and wireless people, the programs are terrible. They're not accessible at all, as far as I've been able to tell. Unfortunately, these programs are made for the sighted world, and they're flashy and pretty looking, but there's no thought given to the blind users out there whatsoever. And that's sad. Thank God for the wireless interface on the routers, or we'd be up the creek. It wouldn't be good. And thanks to XP, if the wireless software, on the other end is inaccessible, thankfully at least, XP has the functionality to set that up, and you can tell the third party drivers, or the third party software that is, to go away and just not interfere with things, because that's exactly what it will do, and I'll talk a little more about that later. But the software then wanted to go out to the internet for whatever reason, and it came up and said it couldn't. So we told it to try again, and still nothing. So we exited out of the program, and although I could get into the router through the web interface without any problems, none of the machines that were wired connections into the router were able to get out to the internet at all. All internet traffic was blocked from the router further out. There was no internet activity whatsoever. I couldn't ping any sites beyond the router. I couldn't even ping the modem or the other PCs. You couldn't get past the router whatsoever. You could get into it, but you couldn't get beyond it. So I decided to call Linksys and talk to their support. And after an hour of that, we had gotten nowhere. A level one technician tried to talk me through this and that as far as setting it up, and we had no luck whatsoever. And she was going to escalate me up to a level two tech, but unfortunately none could be found, so... unfortunately, Linksys wasn't able to help me, and I wasn't real thrilled with their tech support. They basically run off of scripts, and they're very inflexible. They're not allowed to deviate from what they're told to do in their scripts whatsoever. So you basically just have to jump through hoop after hoop after hoop till you can get escalated high enough to get an answer. So, got done with that, hung up, decided, well, heck with this. Did a hard reset of the router. There's a button in the back of the router that you can push in and hold in. I held that in for 10 seconds. And still nothing. Couldn't get anything to work. Tried this a couple times. Couldn't get anything to work still. Decided, all right, for the rest of the day, I was going to hook my old router up. So I hooked the old router back up, got everything going, no problems whatsoever. Got out to the internet just fine. Everybody was happy again. My friend came over Sunday, and just before he got here, I decided to do another hard reset of the router. This time somebody told me to hold it in for 30 seconds. The reset button, and I did. And my friend got here, and he started messing around with it, and for whatever reason, I guess the final reset worked, and we were able to get back out to the internet. So I'm not sure what occurred there, because I had went through all the settings on the router, and everything looked just fine. There was nothing nothing wrong as far as I could tell, but it wouldn't let anything get out to the internet or, anywhere past itself. And that was a big concern. So I'd have to say, and I would suggest this on any other routers, Netgears, Linksys, Belkin, D-Link, whatever it is, Buffalo Technologies, whatever you decide to buy. I'm not going to preach it whose I think is best because, everybody has their own thoughts there. But whatever you do, I don't suggest, and I've heard this from a number of people on the mailing list, do not use the setup CD that comes with the router. They're typically very poorly done, and they typically will cause more problems than they will solve. So if you can, it's always best to go through the web interface for the router setup and do that because, that's not generally not going to cause you any problems as long as you know what you're setting up. Okay, so we got that far. Everything was back up on the wired connections, so we went over to the notebook, and the notebook is running Windows 2000. And Windows 2000 does support wireless connections, but unlike XP, it really doesn't have the capability to set the wireless connection up through 2000. You have to use the utility software that comes with the wireless adapter that you're using, whether it's a PC card for the PC or it's a PCM CIA card for the laptop or it's a USB adapter. If you're running 2000, you pretty much have to use its software. And for the most part, from what I've found, there are varying levels of accessibility in that software. The PCM CIA card I have in the notebook wasn't easily accessible once I could find a tab on the software. I could click on it with the JAWS cursor, and I could pretty much tab around then and get most of the information filled out, so it wasn't impossible. And we got that all set up, and unfortunately, it would connect to the router and then it would disconnect, and it would connect to the router and it would disconnect over and over and over. It was all set up correctly, it just for whatever reason. And we're kind of thinking it's just, 2000 gets picky, and sometimes the drivers get picky with it. And so unfortunately, that didn't work. But my buddy had a TrendNet TEW429UB USB. It's a combination. It's a USB wireless adapter, and it's also a hotspot locator. And that's really kind of neat. It runs about $50. You can get it at Newegg. And for the sighted, it's really neat. It has an LCD display on it. And you can walk around and it'll tell you the wireless connections it's finding. It's kind of like a hotspot sniffer. And it just goes around. Excuse me. And it goes around and shows you connections that are in the area. He could walk around outside and detect my network, tell me my SSID and what channel I was on and whether it was encrypted or not and all that good stuff. So in my particular neighborhood, there are no other wireless connections that are close to my house. And that was good, so you don't have to worry about too much. But it's also bad because if you're the only wireless connection around and somebody happens to notice that, if you're unsecured, then somebody's going to waltz right into your connection. and use it. And they may use it for good things, and they may use it for bad things. You know, it would be a shame to have an FBI agent come up to your door one day and start interrogating you because you're a suspected pedophile or whatever. You know, or you've committed some other crime supposedly, and what has actually happened is somebody has tapped into your wireless network because it wasn't secured and used it without your knowledge to commit some kind of crime. And, unfortunately, it's going to come back to your IP address. So, that's a bad thing. And that's what we don't want to happen. We want to make your network secured. But anyways, he hooked his device up to the notebook via USB, installed the drivers, configured it, and it worked just fine. Connected up, everything was fine. It even appeared to be reasonably accessible. So, that was great. I thought, okay, well, the TrendNet stuff is probably going to be a lot more accessible than others. So I decided I'm going to get a TrendNet USB adapter to play with here. So we found one on Newegg for $17.99. It's the TEW 424UB, that's TEW 424UB. It's a wireless USB 2.0 and also 1.1 and 1.0 compliant, so you can hook it up to any USB, and it will give you a wireless connection. So I ordered that, got that a couple of days later. I got that on a Wednesday, put the CD in, and immediately came up with a blank screen. And the only thing JAWS said was TrendNet. Tried to use the JAWS cursor, nothing. No buttons, no nothing. Totally inaccessible to JAWS in any form. So I said, lovely. And went to explore the CD. And fine, I'll just go get the drivers out of it. We'll install them manually, not a problem. Well, on older versions of the TrendNet software, that was the case. You could just go into the appropriate folder, Win2K, Win95, Win98, whatever, XP. Point the hardware wizard to those drivers and off you went. Not a problem. Well, on the software that came with my device, those drivers are obviously buried in a cab or an executable file somewhere, and they're not accessible that way anymore. So strike two, couldn't do it that way. So I go out to the TrendNet website to hopefully get the drivers that I needed for XP and Windows 2000 so I could try it. And I get to the website, jump through some hoops, find the drivers. And the next thing I know, they want my hardware revision of my device. And since I can't see, I didn't know. So I guessed, and I picked the hardware revision 2.1R, since it was the newest, and it was very, very new. It was put up on the website at the end of January of 2007, so I said, okay, this has to be the right drivers, more than likely, because I just purchased this thing. So I download them, and I start to try and access them, and, no dice. hardware wizard says, nope, these aren't the right drivers. So I had somebody look at the device a little bit later, and they told me the hardware revision, to my astonishment, was 3.0R. Even newer than the newest hardware drivers and utility software out on the TrendNet site. There was no reference to that software whatsoever. So I thought, okay, strike three, I'm screwed, you know. Somebody with vision's going to have to set this up for me, and that's the last thing I want to have happen, because I want everything here that I use to be able to be set up by myself. Otherwise, you know, I have to depend on the site to, you know, make any changes or, you know, just run things, and I don't want to do that. That's just not what I want to do. So I started exploring the CD again, and I found a utility folder, and I went into that, and I find a setup program. And thankfully, when I ran that, it started running the installer, and it was just the regular WISE installer that comes with most programs, so it was accessible, thankfully. And I was able to get the drivers and everything installed into the computer. Got that all done. The utility software for the USB device come up to configure the connection. And unfortunately, pretty much inaccessible. I could find a few buttons here and there, but it kept losing focus, and it wasn't easy to do anything with it, so I kind of gave up on it and on XP. Luckily, you know, I was able to go into settings and then network connections. I found the wireless connection and right-clicked on it and went to properties and went to the wireless tab and was able to set it up. And within a few minutes, had got it to connect to the network. So on XP, it basically wasn't too much of a problem. But unfortunately, on Windows 2000 on the notebook, still I come up with the same problem. The utility software for configuration is not accessible, and therefore I had to talk a sighted person here on Saturday through the entire process of setting up on the notebook. We did manage to finally get it done, and that is connecting now. But my gripe there is if I take it anywhere, I can't hook the connection or, you know, change the connection type to hook into another wireless network. So it's useless to me, more or less. You know, I can hook up here at home, and that's fine and dandy. But really, it does me no good if I go anywhere else. So what I've done now is I've ordered XP for the notebook, and I'm going to install that on there so I can have better accessibility. So unfortunately, this process has been a little bit difficult. I know others have done it just fine, and maybe have made better selections than I have, and probably know more than I do. You know, I'm a techie, you know, and I've used computers for years and years and years, and I know a lot, but, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that I know everything, because I don't. And I know routers pretty well. I know networking decent, but wireless connectivity I don't have a lot of experience with, and I'm learning as I go. At this point, I can pretty much set everything up now, and I could tell people what they need to do to set theirs up properly. So that's good. I've learned something. And hopefully there's more accessible products out there. That's all I can hope for. The ones I picked, unfortunately, weren't always accessible. But if you have XP, you pretty much don't have to worry about that, and that's the good thing. Okay, next I'm going to talk a bit about settings on the router and settings on the PC that you want to hook wirelessly into the router. So I'm going to do that next, and I'll describe some of that for you. Okay, now I'm going to go into the router setup here a bit. I'm going to show you a few things on setting it up, how to make it secure. I'm not going to do a extremely detailed setup here because it's really, really not necessary. There's not that many things that need to be changed in the router setup actually to make it secure. Okay, first of all, what we need to do to get into the router is we need to type its address, and typically on the Linksys routers, it's 192.168.1.1 for the address on Internet Explorer. Type that in and press enter. You should come up with a dialog box asking for username and password. Username on the Linksys routers is blank. You don't need to put anything there. The default password for Linksys routers is admin, A-D-M-I-N. So tab to the password field. Type that in. Press enter. After a couple seconds, your setup screen should come up.
Basic setup dash Windows Internet Explorer.
And in the Linksys, we have a basic setup. There are multiple links or tabs, as it's called, but they're actually just links. And
link setup.
You have a setup link.
Link wireless.
We have a wireless link.
Link security.
A security link.
Link access restrictions.
An access restrictions link.
Link applications and gaming.
An applications and gaming link.
Link administration.
Administration.
Link status.
And status.
Basic setup.
Excuse me. The main screen that you'll come into is the basic setup screen. And here we can set up some of the basic settings for the router's functionality. Connecting to the internet. And I'm going to go to a section on this page. I've set up a place marker.
Internet connection type.
Okay, we're to the settings section on this page. And really, there's not a lot that you need to do except set the connection type.
Combo box automatic configuration dash DHCP 106.
It defaults to automatic DHCP configuration, which a lot of ISPs do, not all. But you can open this box up and you can change this setting to whatever you need. Some need PPOE and some need others. But there are several settings there for that. You need to select the appropriate one.
Dash dash dash. Blend. Optional settings. Left parent required by some SPS right parent.
These optional settings, most of them you'll never need to touch.
Blend. Router name colon.
You have a router name.
Edit WRT54GL.
And I haven't changed this. Generally, there's no need to.
Host name colon. Edit. Domain name colon. Edit.
Some ISPs require a host and domain information to be entered. Mine doesn't, so I left these blank.
MTU colon. Combo box auto 102.
MTU has to do with transferring data back and forth on your network. Excuse me. This is best left to automatic, but if you're going to play around with it, it's generally should be right around 1500, but I wouldn't suggest playing with it. The router is pretty much going to automatically determine that for you.
Size colon, edit unavailable 1500.
And that's not available since we have it set to automatic.
Dash dash dash, blend, network setup, router IP, local IP address colon.
This is the address that you'll use to access the router's web interface, and that defaults to 192.168.
Edit 1 period. Edit 168 period. Edit 1 period. Edit 1.
1.1, sorry. 192.168.1.1. If you're using this in combination with another router or something, if you're putting a router behind a router, then you're going to need to change this to something else. But in this case, I'm just using a single router, so we'll leave it at that.
Subnet mask colon, combo box 255.255.255.0.107.
That's the subnet mask for the router. We can leave that alone
dash,
most cases.
Blend, network address, server settings, left parent, DHCP, right parent, DHCP server colon, radio button checked.
102.
Enable.
You can either have the router automatically give addresses out to the computers on its network, which I would recommend. And if you're using XPN 2000, they will automatically configure via DHCP and connect to the router automatically. If you set this to static for whatever reason, or you disable the DHCP support, then you would have to configure each computer to connect to the router, and generally anymore, that's not necessary.
Radio button not checked.
202.
Disable. Starting IP address colon 192.168.1. Edit 100.
And this starts giving addresses out at 192.168.1.100, and that is fine. That will give you addresses 100 to 253, so that's going to allow 153 computers. And there's no way you're going to have that many hooked up, so leave that. That's fine.
Maximum number of DHCP users, colon, edit 50.
The router defaults to a maximum of 50. You could change that. If anything, it would be lower, because there's no way you're going to have 50 computers hooked in a home setting.
Client lease time, colon, edit 0.
The client lease time is how long before the DHCP address is dropped and renewed to the individual computers. 0, I believe, means 1 day.
Minutes left parent, 0 means 1 day right parent.
Yeah.
Static DNS 1 colon.
And that is fine. Leave it at that. More than likely, if the computers are kept up and running, the DHCP addresses won't change. If they do, it's generally not a problem. The only time that becomes a problem is if you're doing port forwarding and things like that.
Edit 192. Static DNS 1 colon.
Static DNS is just simply some DNS settings you can add. DNS is what resolves the internet addresses from numbers like 204.106.1.22 to msn.com. So the router may or may not need to have some static DNS addresses configured into it. Mine doesn't. It looks out at the modem for that, and there's already two addresses in the modem. But you can set up other DNS servers in the router. There's three places for that if you need to do that.
Edit 192. Period. Edit 1 period. Edit period. Edit stat. Edit z period. Edit period. Edit period. Edit stat. Edit 0 period. Edit period. Edit period. Edit 0 wins colon.
In a home setting, wins is generally not used, so we'll leave this address alone.
Edit 0 period. Edit z period. Edit z period. Edit z dash dash dash. Blank. Time setting. Time zone colon.
The router has its own internal clock for whatever reason. All you have to do is set it to the proper time zone.
Combo box left parent GMT dash 5 o'clock right parent Eastern time left parent USA and Canada right parent
11:37.
It defaults to Pacific or GMT minus 8. It's not critical that you change that, but I would go ahead and change it to the proper time zone.
Checkbox checked automatically adjust clock for daylight saving changes.
And it defaults to that, and you can leave that alone.
Table end. Blend. Automatic configuration -DHCP : this setting is most commonly used by cable operators.
Okay, and we're down to the bottom where it gives a short description of some of the settings. So the page does kind of try to be helpful. It tries to tell you what to do with it. And as you can see, there's not much you're going to need to do on it. Let's go back up to the top.
Basic setup.
And I'm going to go into the wireless now.
Link setup. Link wireless. Enter.
Table.
Basic wireless settings. Firmware version V4.30.9. Firmware version.
One heading and 10 links.
Basic.
Let's stop that. Each page gives you firmware version. And router name. Up at the top.
No place markers.
Oops, I don't have a place marker set here, so.
Blank, firm, edit, wireless, double, blank, table, blank, link, setup, wireless, link, basic, wireless, setting, blank, vertical bar.
Okay, once you get down to the vertical bar, you're about to get into the setup for that particular page. We're in the wireless page.
Blank, link, wireless, security, blank, vertical bar, blank, link, wireless, MAC filter, blank, vertical bar, blank, link, advanced, wireless, settings.
And these are sub-settings in the wireless page that you can go to.
Table end, blank, table with 6 columns and 8 rows, wireless network, blank, wireless network mode, colon, combo box mixed,
2 of 4.
Okay, the first setting that we're going to deal with here is...
combo box mixed,
2 of 4,
wireless network mode, colon...
the wireless network mode. My router is capable of handling 802.11b and 802.11g traffic. I've set this to G a couple of times, and I don't know why it's not sticking, but right now it's set to mixed. That's its default. That means it will handle both G and B traffic. G is the 54 megabit traffic, and B is the 11 megabit per second traffic. If you're just going to work with one or the other, it's best to just set it that way. That way you don't have performance degradation when it's trying to handle either or. But if you are going to have both B and G traffic, then leave it at mixed. Mine, I would prefer to just leave it at G, but it doesn't seem to be setting to that for some reason, so I'm not going to bother it anymore.
Wireless network name, left parent, SSID, right parent, colon.
The SSID is the name the router transmits out to all the world to hear to identify itself. Linksys defaults to Linksys, and that's one of the things you definitely want to change. We want to change this from Linksys to something else.
Edit Geek Zone.
And I've just called mine Geek Zone.
Wireless channel colon.
Now, you may need to play with the channel a bit. There's 11 channels. And what that basically comes down to, because there's quite a bit of overlap in signal, that basically you either set it to channel 1, channel 6, or channel 11, from what I've been told by people with more expertise than myself. So you kind of need to play around. If there's no traffic in the area like here, I just went ahead and set it to channel 1. But you're going to have to play with this a bit to get the best signal.
Combo box 1-2.412 GHZ.
1 of 11.
Wireless SSID broadcast colon. Radio button checked.
1 of 2.
Enable.
Mine is set to broadcast SSID. Some people recommend that you do not broadcast it, but my security expert friend that does this kind of stuff for a living said that really turning off the SSID doesn't do all that much. If somebody wants to get the SSID, they're going to get it regardless of whether you broadcast it or not, because it's already, you know, in some cases it's going to be able to get it just by utilities, port sniffers and things like that, network sniffers, you know, it's going to get that information. Mine's left on. I don't care about that because I'm using other security on top of that.
Radio button notch blend. B2 button. Status colon says inactive.
This button is for the Cisco security setup. I don't use that. It's not really accessible as far as I can tell. It's an automatic security setup, and I don't use it.
Blend. Reset security button unavailable. Table end. Blend. Blend. Wireless network mode colon if you wish to exclude wireless dash D clients.
And we're down to the bottom where it's describing what each setting does. Let's go back up to the top. I want to take you into some of these sublinks.
Basic wireless blend, blend, firm, head, duplet, head, link, white, link, blend, link, blend, link, admit, blend, link, status, blend, basic, blend, vertical bar, blend, link, wireless security.
Going to go into wireless security.
Enter.
Table.
Wireless security, firmware version, colon, wireless, blend, blend, firm, blend, white, duplet, head, link, white, link, link, access restrictions, blend, link, blend, link, blend, visit, blend, vertical bar, blend, wireless security.
Okay, I'm in the wireless security.
Blend, vertical bar.
Page
blend,
here.
Link, wireless, MAC filter. Blend, vertical bar, blend, link advanced wireless settings, table end, blend, table with 7 columns and 7 rows, wireless security.
Now this is where we get into our wireless security settings.
Blend, security mode colon, combo box WPA personal,
2 of 7.
The router defaults to no security out of the box, and that is something you absolutely need to change, because if you leave it unsecure, anybody walking by that can get the signal can get in it just like that, no questions asked, and you don't want that. Most routers today support WPA1 and WPA2. You definitely, if possible and your devices support that, you want to do that. My understanding is that some accessibility devices, such as PacMates and things like that, may or may not be able to support WPA. That's a choice you're going to have to make if you have some of those types of devices and they don't support it. You need to at least, and this is at least minimal protection, but you need to at least use the WEP and the 128-bit protection at the very least. Unfortunately, that's flawed and is very easy to crack. Somebody can crack that in a matter of a minute or two if they have the right software. Unfortunately, and you need to know this, WPA1 and WPA2 are also somewhat flawed and, given time, can be broken into if somebody really, really wants to. But more than likely, if you've got, you know, a bunch of wireless routers in locations around you, you're going to find out some of them are unsecured, and people know that, and they're going to attack those first. You know, if you're using WPA, you're pretty safe. You know, nobody's going to take the time to hack into that when they can find something less protected around.
WPA algorithms colon combo boxes
202.
And I'm using AES for the algorithm. There's another one, I forget what it is, but I use the AES.
WPA share key colon. Edit M7 kits group key renewal colon.
Well, don't want to tell you that. That's my
edit WPA share key colon.
You need to enter a WPA shared key into this box here that follows. What was recommended by my friend is you take a phrase, some kind of phrase, something in your life. I don't know. My mother's name is Patricia. Something like that. Then you start tweaking it. You start changing case in it. You start misspelling things. You start inserting numbers for letters. And you kind of just scramble it up, you know, a bit, and this is what your key is going to be, and that's what you tell all the other computers that are hooking into the router to use. So once you type this in, the best thing to do is copy it and then paste it out into Notepad and save that so you can take it to the other computers and paste it back in.
Edit a group, edit 3600. Group key renewal, colon. Edit 3600.
The group key renewal, I don't believe I'm using.
Seconds. Table end. Blank. Security mode, colon. You may choose from disable web, WPA pre-share key, WPA radius, or radius. All devices on your network must...
Okay, and then we're down to the bottom again. So basically, on this page, you want to set it to WPA...
Security mode, colon. You may choose from disable web, WPA pre-share key, WPA radius, or radius. All devices... Blank table set, edit, duck, blank, wireless secure table with 7, wireless blank, security mode, colon, combo box, WPA personal,
2 of 7.
And I set mine to WPA personal. You could set it to WPA 2 personal, but I had one device on the system here that didn't support that, so I went ahead and set it to WPA 1 personal. Okay, let's see, what else do we have up here? Let me go to the top.
Blank, heading, what,
let me skim down through here.
Blank, link, stat, blank, visit, blank, vertical bar, blank, wireless security, blank, vertical bar, blank, link, wireless MAC filter.
You can do wireless MAC filtering and MAC address cloning, but my friend basically told me that is very easy to crack. And you may slow somebody down by a minute or two by cloning a MAC address, but you're not going to stop them. We chose not to bother with it. You can set that up if you want. Some people do, some people don't.
Blank. Vertical bar. Blank. Link advanced wireless settings.
Let's go into the advanced.
Enter.
Table.
Advanced wireless settings. For advanced. Blank. Link security.
Now skim down here.
Link static blank, visit blank, vertical blank, visited link wireless security, blank, vertical bar, blank, link wireless MAC filter, blank, vertical bar, blank, advanced wireless settings, table end.
Okay, now we're in the advanced wireless settings, and I'm not sure if I need to change anything here or not, but I'll go down through it with you.
Blank, table with 7 columns and 13 rows, advanced wireless, blank, authentication type colon, combo box unavailable auto,
1 of 2.
Left parent default colon auto basic rate colon combo box default
2 of 3.
Left parent default colon the transmission rate colon combo box auto
13 of 13.
Okay, and I think we've left all this to auto. It's very, very advanced settings and you don't want to mess with them.
Left parent CTS protection mode colon.
It has to do with the wireless communications protocols and clear to send and ready to send, transmit bits and all that good stuff that we don't need to ever mess with. So, I'm going to get out of this.
Advanced wireless setting, blank, blank, firmware version, blank, heading wireless-g, broad, heading level 3 wireless, wireless-g, WRT54, blank, table with 7, blank, link setup.
Go back to
enter.
Table.
Basic setup, blank.
What?
Blank, vertic, blank, link table, blank, table with internet setup, internet combo, dash, blank, optional settings. Basic setup, blank, left for blank, wireless-w, blank, table with 7 columns and 3, blank, visited link setup, visited link wireless.
Another place you need to go is the administration link.
Link security, link access restrictions, blank, link access, link security, visited link wireless, link security, link access restriction, blank, link applications and blank, link administration, enter,
table,
management, firmware. Blank heading wire double tape visit link blank link applic blank administrate blank link status blank map blank ver blank link log blank vertical bar blank link log blank vertical bar.
Okay, now I'm down into the administration settings.
Blank link log blank vertical bar blank link diagnostics blank vertical blank link factory defaults.
And we have some sub settings here as far as logging. And factory defaults and diagnostics.
Blank, vertical bar, blank, link firmware upgrade.
Firmware upgrades. I've already did the firmware upgrade onto this, and I've set it to the latest firmware from Linksys.
Blank, vertical bar, blank, link config management.
What we want to do here, though, is...
Table end, blank, table with 11 columns and 16 router password.
What we want to do is we want to change the default password on the router from admin, A-D-M-I-N, to something that you're going to remember. This keeps people out of the router. You know, hackers know all these default settings. That's why you want to change your SSID from Linksys to something else. That's why you want to change your router's password to something else. You know, it just helps keep the hackers out. They know all these defaults. So,
blend local router access, blend router password, blend local route, blend router password colon star 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 password edit.
You need to change this, so you would hit your space bar to get into the to edit mode, and you need to clear that out. Go to the beginning of it by hitting home on the field, delete it all out, because unlike say in Windows, it doesn't start over typing what's there automatically. So if you don't clear it out, it's going to add to it. And I had problems with this at first, and I was getting wrong passwords set up into it and couldn't get back in and had to reset the router and all that. You don't want to have to do that. So get in there, clear it out, type your new password in, go to the next field.
Re-enter the star 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 password edit.
And go to the beginning of that by hitting home. Hit delete till you get it all cleared out. Type in your new password there.
Dash dash dash. Blend. Web access.
Hit enter. And a screen will come up. It'll ask you for your password. Type it in the new one. Hit enter. It will then come up, I think, say your settings are successfully changed. You may have to hit a continue button, and it'll take you back to the setup page. And that's about it there. There are other settings in here that I'm not going to talk about right now, as far as you can do address filtering, forwarding, stuff like that, if you're gaming and stuff, that you might need to open ports. I'm really not going to get into that right now because it doesn't have anything to do with the wireless setup. Everything I've described to you so far is basically all you need for a wireless setup on this or any other router, even if it's a Netgear, a D-Link, whatever. You want to change your default password for the router, wherever that may be in the setup. You need to set it up for connection type, you know, automatic DHCP or whatever it requires to hook to your ISP. You need to go into your wireless settings. You need to change your SSID from the default of the router to something else. You may or may not choose to broadcast that. You also need to go into the security settings for wireless. You probably will default to no protection. You definitely want to change that to WPA if possible, if all your devices hooking to the wireless network support WPA. If not, you at least want to use the WEP 128-bit encryption. If you're using the WPA, you need to give it a security passkey, and you need to make that kind of scramble it up a bit. You know, different people do that different ways. Some people put all hex information in there. Some people use a phrase, and then they kind of jumble it up a bit like I do. You need to paste or copy that out, paste it into Notepad, save that as a file so you can take it to your other computers. And that's about it for the router. I think we're done with the router. Be aware that the Linksys router, every time you do any of these changes, resets itself, and you won't have access to the network for a moment or two. That's kind of silly. I don't like that. Most other routers reset within a couple of seconds, but this one doesn't. Another thing you might want to be aware of, I've not tried this, and I definitely am not recommending it to the faint of heart at the moment. Some of the people on the list do it, but I'm not ready to do it yet. You can change the firmware on this router from the Linksys firmware to other forms of open source firmware that will give the router a lot more functionality Supposed to make it a lot more stable, although I haven't had any stability problems yet with it. That is possible. I'm not getting into that right now. It's way beyond the scope of this podcast, so just be aware that it is possible to do it. But I'm not going to talk about it. Okay, that finishes up the router. Next, I'm going to go over to my other computer that has the USB wireless adapter plugged into it, and it's running on XP, and I'm going to show you a little bit of how you get that set up and going to connect to the wireless network. Okay, I'm over here at the other computer now, and I've went into settings and then network connections. I'm going to select my wireless network connection here.
Wireless network connection to. Wireless network connection to LAN or I-speed inter dot 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 connected. Firewall thread net T101.
Now, when you first put your drivers in, this is not going to be connected. It is now. What you need to do is hit your applications key.
Applications, context menu, disable, disable, dynamic properties, R.
Go to properties.
Enter, leaving menus, folder view, list view, wireless network connection to LAN or I-speed inter dot 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 connected, firewall thread net T, to move. Shift tab, configure, can shift tab, general tab, to switch pages, press control tab.
Tab or shift tab around to your tabs.
Wireless networks tab.
Then get to your wireless tab.
Tab, wireless networks page, use Windows to configure my wireless network settings, checkbox checked, to clear checkmark, press space bar.
You want to check this setting?
Use Windows to configure my wireless network settings, checkbox checked.
Use Windows to configure wireless settings. If you're using another utility that comes with the USB device, you may have to either uninstall it or tell it not to start up, because it will try to take over and it won't allow Windows to automatically do it. If your third-party software, you know, connects normally and you don't have to mess with it and it's accessible, then you don't have to worry about any of this. But in my case, my configuration utility that came with my USB device was not accessible, so this is what we're doing.
Tab, available networks, colon, view wireless networks button, to activate tab, preferred networks, colon, preferred networks, list view, peak zone, left parent, automatic right parent, to move to items, use the arrow keys. Tab, preferred networks, colon, add dot 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 button, to activate, press space bar, tab, preferred networks, colon, remove button, to active, tab, preferred networks, colon, properties button, to activate, press space bar, tab, preferred networks, colon, learn about setting up wireless network config, shift tab, preferred networks, colon, properties.
And I'm trying to remember what I went into to do the settings.
Tab, preferred networks, colon, advanced button, to activate, tab, okay button, to shift tab, preferred networks, colon, advanced button, to shift tab, preferred networks, colon, learn about set, shift tab, preferred networks, colon, properties button, to activate, press space bar.
Okay, I'm going to go into the preferred networks properties. I think that's where I set it up.
Space, peak zone properties dialog, association page, wireless network key network authentication, colon, combo box, WPA tab, wireless network key data. Shift tab, wireless network key network authentication, colon, combo box, WPA-PSK, to change the selection, use the arrow keys.
Then I had to set this to the WPA-PS key, personal, WPA-personal. In the setup, I remember you had to check a box for that.
Tab, wireless network key data encryption, colon, combo box, A's, to change the selection, use the arrow keys.
And then I had to change this to A's, A-E-S.
Tab, wireless network key, colon, password, edit, type of text.
Then you paste your password here.
Tab, wireless network key, confirm network key, colon, password,
and
edit,
you paste it here.
Tab, OK button, to activate, press space bar. Tab, cancel button, to active space, preferred networks, colon, properties button.
I think if you don't have a network already set up like I do, then there's going to be a different setup button for it, but it's going to ask the same questions.
app, preferred networks, colon, learn about setting up what app, preferred networks, colon, advanced button, space, advanced dialog, networks to access any available network, left parent access point, preferred right parent radio button checked, to change the selection, press up app, automatically connect to non-dash preferred networks, checkbox not checked, to check, press space bar.
This is just dealing with how we connect to different types of networks, and we don't want to mess with any of this.
App, close button, to app, networks to access any available net app, automatic app, close button, to activate, press space, preferred networks, colon, advanced button, app, okay button, tap, cancel button, to add app, wireless networks, tap, to switch page, advanced tab. Tap, advanced page, protect my computer and win, shift tab, advanced tab, to switch pages, press control tab.
Okay, I could delete this connection and reset it up, but...
Applications.
Let's see here.
Escape wireless network connection to network connection applications contact view available wire status U repair E bridge connection create shortcut delete unavailable D.
No, it's not going to let me delete it anyways, so.
Rename M properties R disable B view available wireless networks V.
I believe what you had to do. Yeah.
View available wireless networks status U. View available wireless networks V.
If you don't have it already set up, you need to go in and view.
View available wireless networks.
View available wireless networks. You don't go into the properties if it's the first time that you're setting this up. Sorry, I'm confusing you probably, but.
Enter, leaving menus, folder view, list view, wireless network connection to lander high speed, enter, dot, connected, firewall, trend, net, T. To move to items, use the arrow keys, wireless network connection to dialog, click an item in the list below to connect to a wireless network in Ranger to get more information, list box, peak zone connected, traffic 356, traffic 702, security dash enabled, wireless network, left parent, WPA, right parent, this network requires a network key, you are currently connected to this network, to disconnect from this network, click disconnect below.
Yeah, and this is where you can connect and disconnect.
App, disconnect button, to app, refresh network list, app, set up a wireless network for a home or small office button, to activate app, learn about wireless network, to shift app, set up a wireless network for a home or small office button, to activate, press space bar.
I think I went into this.
Space, wireless network setup wizard dialog, next greater button, to active space, select a task colon, add new computers or devices to the apostrophe peak zone network, radio button check, to change the selection, press up or down arrow, escape, peak zone, security dash enabled wireless network, left parent, WPA, right parent, this network requires a...
Let me get out of that.
Tap, learn about what app, change the order of preferred net app, change advanced settings button, to act app, click an item in the list below to connect to a wireless network in Ranger to get more information, list box, peak zone, connect app, disconnect button, to activate...
Well, what's going to happen the first time that you view your networks and you go into it, if it's not already set up, it's going to ask you for what type of encryption, and I think it defaults to WEP. You need to change that to WPA personal or whatever you're going to set it to. Then you tab, it's going to ask you for your personal key if you're using WPA. And you need to paste that in, tab again, it'll ask for confirmation, and enter that, tab, and go to next, and I believe that'll finish that up. And it should then connect automatically. I probably should have done this a few days ago when I first set this up, but I didn't because I wasn't ready to do this podcast then, so... Some of this may be a bit confusing, and I apologize for that. But that's basically all you have to do to get things set up and going with the wireless router. So if you're wanting to do something like this, I wish you the best of luck, and I hope you have some better luck than I did on some of the goings on with it, but you know, make sure you talk to people and get it done right. Don't leave it unsecured, and you know, just make sure it's set up safe and secured for yourself, because you don't want people hacking into it. All right, this pretty much concludes this, and I'm going to wrap it up. I hope all of this has been helpful to you, and I thank you for listening. And I'll talk to you next time. This is my contact information. If you would like to contact me for whatever reason, for a PC question, or a comment on an audio recording or podcast that I've done, you can contact me at the following places. My website is www.blind-geek-zone.net. My Skype ID is rharmon928. My MSN is rharmon928@hotmail.com, and that's rharmon928. My email address is rharmon@blind-geek-zone.net. Please feel free to contact me with any comments or questions you may have, either about my website, my audio recordings, or anything else you might want to comment on.